Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos daf Chaf Hey. We're nearly back to speed. We're on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. I left three lines before the Mishnah. Let me just wrap up those three lines, and then we're going to start a new Mishnah, and not a new topic. The topic of the second paragraph is always going to remain the same. It's going to be lighting your Shabbos licht, but the move on to new areas within the topic. But in the meantime, however, let's just finish up. The Gemara says, "V'lova alya chachamim haynu tanakama." What bothers the Gemara? So when we learn the Mishnah together, so I pointed out, this is going to bother the Gemara because you go through enough Mishnahs, you just simply know you have your antennas up and you're sensitive to these issues. If you look back at the Mishnah had a debate about Shem and Sreifa. Right, so the Mishnah says v'lova shemen sreifa, that you're not allowed to use shemen sreifa, v'lova ayah, v'lova chaylev, and you're not allowed to use chaylev. Nach mamad amrim malikim echel mevusha v'chachamim omrim echel mevusha v'echel shein mevusha malikim bo. Correction: we're not the debate over here is not about shemen sreifa. The debate over here is about chaylev. So you have three opinions in the Mishnah. You have the Tanakama. The Tanakama says you can't. Then you have the chachamim. Sorry. Then you have Nachum Amadi. Nachum Amadi says you can. And then you have the Chachamim that say you can't. So, right, and I told you, this is going to bother the Gemara. Meaning we have a position of you can't, Tanakama. Your second opinion is as Nachum Amadi, you can. And then you have the Chachamim say you can't. So the Chachamim turns into a redundancy. And when you're learning Mishnayos, and remember Rav Yehuda Hanasi put together the Mishnayos, so he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't just simply put down a redundancy. So the question is very simple. What's the Chachamim adding to the discussion? So that's the Gemara's question. Chachamim hainu tanakama. Ekebenau de Rav Bruna Amarav. So the difference is Rav Bruna Amarav. If you remember, this is already a number of days ago. This was the beginning of the whole discussion. What if I made a compound oil? A compound fuel that was made of acceptable and unacceptable oils. So am I allowed to light with a compound fuel? So that was subject to a debate, and Rav Brona was of the position that you are allowed to. You're allowed to use Tarova Shemin. That as long as you mix in, and by the way, he also is of the position that even if you mix in just a little bit, that'll be enough, that'll be sufficient, and now you're allowed to use this compound oil of good and not good. So the Gemara says that's the difference between the Tanakam and the Chachamim, where one of them subscribes to the position of Rav Brona, or to say more accurately, Rav Brona subscribes to him, and the other one doesn't agree with Rav Brona. Now, the Gemara says, okay, now can we point to who agrees and who disagrees? And the Gemara says, no, we can't. Lo mesayma. Meaning, we don't know. We know that that's the difference between the two, between opinion number one and opinion number three, but we don't know which one of them is more makel. Okay? Tosfos over here is an interesting discussion. Can we deductively figure it out? Based on usually the second position is the one that's more machmir, generally, usually. And Tosfos argues that in this particular case, we can't do that. Anyway, you see Tosfos inside for that discussion. It's the second Tosfos on the Yamun. Okay, let's go on. The new Mishnah. Ein malikim b'shemen treifa b'yamtov. Now, you can use shemen treifa. Now, we talked about this yesterday. I know this conversation came up yesterday, but now it comes up here again in the Mishnah. This is a primary source. Shemen treifa is truma tameya, meaning that you give kohen oil. Now, with the kohen as truma. Now, that truma oil that's given to the kohen, so it has kedusha, it has sanctity. The kohen is only allowed to eat it. The kohen is not allowed to do anything else with it. Cannot apply it to his skin, can't burn it as fuel, can't do anything other than eat it. That truma has kedusha, and therefore can be eaten. The kohen doesn't have to eat in Yerushalayim, he can eat wherever he wants. It's what's called katshe gvul, but okay, he's got to eat it. So now what if that truma becomes tame? So now truma, as we know, is very sensitive to tumah. Truma can become tame even if it touches a sheni. So what if the truma becomes tame? So now the kohen's not allowed to eat it. So what does he have to do to it? So he's got to burn it. Now, but in the burning, what the kohen's entitled to do is get benefit while burning it. So if he needs light, so he could use the source as illumination. If he needs heat, so he could use the burning as fuel for fire in order so that he can get heat. So he's allowed to get benefit while he's burning it. So this kohen now has got a great idea. Look, I got oil, which is truma oil. It became tamei, so I know what I'll do. So simple. I'll use it on Friday night. I'll use it for Friday night, meaning I'll light my Shabbos licht with the truma tamei. It is a great idea. The Mishnah says you don't do it. You can't do it. And not only can you not do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Yom Tov as well. Now that's even a bigger chiddush. Why is it a bigger chiddush on Yantav? For obvious reasons. Because on Yantav you're allowed to burn things. Meaning, not only are you not allowed to do it on Friday for Shabbos, you can't even do it on Yantav itself, even though on Yantav, you know, you have a heter, you're allowed to burn. A havara is mutter on Yantav. So the obvious question would be, well, why not? Meaning, why can't the Kohen burn it on Yantav? Stay tuned as we're going to answer that question as in the first step of the Gemara. But let's finish up the mission, then we'll come back. Now we're going back to Shabbos, meaning the first halacha of the Mishnah was a Yantav halacha, and now we're back on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says that you can't light with Itran because of Kavod Shabbos. Now Itran, how do I say in English? I don't know. Rashi says Psulta de Zifta, whatever. It creates a stench, whatever this fuel is. It's tar, it's pitch. I envision, although I don't know if I'm right, you know, when you pass those trucks that have the tar in them, and you get that really good odor that comes out of that truck. So maybe that's whatever it is. The point is that it creates a foul smell, and you can't use that for your Shabbos lech. So why not? The Gemara is going to explain. Because you light that as your Shabbos lech, then everyone's going to run right out of the house. And that ends your Shabbos meal very quickly. Okay, now if you want your Shabbos guests to leave early, so then maybe it's recommended. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, no, the Chachamim matirim b'chol hashman, and the Chachamim are matir with all oils, and then shemen shumshemin, sesame seed oil, b'shemen agozim, some sort of nut oil, shemen tzenonos, oil that comes from tzenon. Now Rashi describes this as being radish oil. Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. B'shemen dagin, fish oil. Not just fish oil, but fish guts oil. Okay, I don't know if you're going to find that on the rack in your local market, but it's fish guts oil. At least that's what Rashi says. B'shemen pekuos. Rashi describes shemen pekuos as some sort of pumpkin. Desert pumpkin, says Rashi. B'itran, you're allowed to use itran, right? Even though Rabbi Shmuel says you're not, but the Chachamim say you are. Uve neft, and you're allowed to use nafta. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eim Alikin Al B'Shem and Zayis Balvan. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you only are to use olive oil to the exclusion of all other oils.
Even now, for Shabbos too.
Yeah, no, this is talking about Shabbos. It's strictly Shabbos. It's not Hanukkah.
Right,
so obviously, Rabbi Tarfon here results in the biggest chomer of them all. Meaning, if you can, we have such a wide range of opinion now. Meaning, in the first Mishnah, we learned that basically all oils are acceptable except for six mentioned in the first Mishnah. This Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, only limits Itran. And the Chachamim say, nah, you can even use that as well. And the Chachamim then give a list of acceptable oils. And then finally, Rabbi Tarfon's position is only olive oil. That's it. That's the only oil that you're allowed to use. Stay tuned as we will discuss later on what's behind the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. We start off with the Gemara. The Gemara deals with the first ruling of our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says again that you're not allowed to, Kohen's not allowed to take Truma Tamea and burn it on Yom Tov. Burn it so that he wants to get either fuel or light. He can't do it on Yom Tov. My Taima. So the Gemara's question is a very simple one. Well, why not? And the Gemara's answer is Lefi Shein Sofrim Kachim Be Yom Tov. Because you're not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yom Tov. Now, let's explore this a little bit for a couple of minutes so that we can get a reasonably good understanding of what's going on right now. Here's what we know. On Yom Tov, we have a special dispensation, we have a leniency, that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. The Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk momentarily from Parshas Bo, that, not this Pasuk coming up right now, but basically you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to prepare food on Yom Tov itself. And obviously part of the preparation of food means that you're allowed to light a fire. Meaning one of the malachas that are permitted on Yom Tov is Havara. Lighting a fire is permissible on Yom Tov. So if you're allowed to light a fire, obviously that means that you're allowed to burn things on Yom Tov. Okay, when I say burn things, I mean cook food, but okay. Now, we have a general rule on Yom Tov. Now, when the malacha becomes permitted on Yom Tov, so that now means that you can do this malacha even if it's not necessarily for food. Okay, this is a rule called mitoch. That once this malacha has become permitted on Yom Tov for cooking purposes, it's also permitted for non-cooking purposes as well. So as far as a simple example, so if you want to burn on Yom Tov, let's say it's cold and you want heat, so you can make a fire on Yom Tov in order to produce heat. Meaning as long as it produces some sort of value to you, So you're allowed to do this malacha on Yantif. Okay? There are, first of all, smoking should be, you shouldn't smoke to begin with. So as I throw in a huge disclaimer into this discussion, but there are those who smoke on Yantif. Now smoking Yantif, that's the act of burning. And you're not eating. Okay, but again, the idea is as long as there's a value to you. Now I know it's totally debatable whether there's a value to smoking, but you know, back in the good old days when everyone smoked, everybody, right? Pregnant mother smoked. I mean, it was that was the case. So then the assumption going in is mitoch shehuchel letzarach uchanam shelo letzarach. But here's the catch, though, in this whole discussion, meaning that even though the malachas are permitted on yontif, even for non-cooking purposes, but it has to have some sort of value to you. And not just a value to you, but it has to have a general value to anybody who does it. So that means to say that if there is an action on Yantav that requires one of these malachas, let's talk about burning, because that's our discussion right now. If there is no value to it to you, personally, so then even with the rule of mitoch, you can't do it. You're not allowed to do it. Okay? So, essentially now, let's put everything together. We're now talking about burning truma on Yantav. And the Mishnah says you're not allowed to burn truma tamei on Yantav. And now, based on the rules that I just laid out, the question is pretty obvious. Well, why not? Meaning, you're allowed to burn on Yantav. You're allowed to burn for the purposes of cooking. With the rule of mitoch, you're allowed to burn even for non-cooking purposes, as long as there's some benefit and value to you. Okay? Okay, good. So that's the question set out on the table. So why aren't you allowed to burn Truma Tamea on Yantav? Now, with that in mind, and just let me just wrap up the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is, Lefisha ain't surfing Kachem Yantav, because I'm not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yantav. Now, let's think this through. What's the Gemara basically saying? I'll tell you, I'll give away some of the Gemara upcoming, but basically here's what the Gemara is saying. You know on Yantav you're allowed to bring karbonos, right? Karbon Yom. Meaning on Yantav itself there are a lot of karbonos that you have to bring.
The leftovers.
Hold on. So that of course refers to today's karbonos, meaning the Yantav karbonos that are brought on Yantav itself as required by Yantav, as instructed in Parshas Pinchas. So the karbonos of today. What if there were leftover karbanos from yesterday? Meaning on Erev Yantav, let's say there were karbanos that were offered, and some of the meats and some of the fats of the yesterday's karban weren't burnt. Can I burn them today on Yantav? And the answer is unequivocally no. Even if they're partially burnt. Meaning if they're leftover, if they were on the Mizbeach from yesterday, that's one thing. But I'm talking about where they weren't on the Mizbeach. Or let's even say, right, just like Michael suggested, let's say it's no sir. Meaning, let's just simply say that was leftover from yesterday. So can I burn an Yantav? And the answer is unequivocally no. You're not allowed to burn an Yantav. Why? Based on what I just explained. Because burning an Yantav, even though it's a mitzvah to do so, but there's no value to you, and the only time that there is a heter to burn an Yantav is only if there's some value to you. You need hana, you need benefit. Now, I understand there's an inherent benefit in performing a mitzvah, but you know how it works. Mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu, meaning that we don't call that a benefit. That's not a hana. That's something well beyond hana. Is when you do a mitzvah. So now, if you think this through, you realize the Gemara's answer doesn't seem to be satisfactory. Why? Because it's true that you're not allowed to burn kachem on Yantav. Meaning, again, when we say kachem, we mean not today's kachem. Kachem left over from yesterday. Right, or kachem that you're not obligated to bring on Yantav. So you're not allowed to burn kachem on Yantav, but why should that speak to the idea of Truma Tamea? Because when you burn Truma Tamea, there is a value to you. Because as you're burning the Truma Tamea, you're allowed to get warmth from that fuel, you're allowed to use it for cooking for your food. So why aren't you allowed to burn Truma Tamea on Yantav? And the answer of the Gemara seems to be not satisfactory. So what I'm raising over here is not my issue. This is Tosfos. Tosfos is bothered by this very question. Now let's see this Tosfos inside. We're going to, hopefully by the end of today, there's a couple of Tosfos that I really want to focus on, and this is one of them. And V'im Tomar, So you want to follow with me? I'm in the third Tosfos on the Amud. Heichi often in Truma Mikachim to Kachim Dinu Shein Sreifa Sam Docha Yantav. So when Tosfos formulates the question, it's going to basically be what I just said. I just said it outside. Now we get to read it inside. Look, says Tosfos. I understand that you're not to burn Kodesh on Yantav Lefisha Ein Yachol Lehenos Bishat Sreifa, because there you're forbidden from benefiting while you're burning Kachim. And so therefore we don't have the mitoch principle. If there's no benefit to you, you're simply not allowed to burn. Elasrefas truma tamea, but now we're talking about truma tamea. Shemuter lehanos bishat srefa. You are allowed to benefit from truma tamea as you're burning it. Lama ye aser. So Tosus' question over here is very simple. So why should it be forbidden on Yontif to burn Truma Tamea? And why should Truma Tamea be different than any oil? If you're benefiting from the oil, from the burning of the oil, you're allowed to burn on Yontif. So Da'atu Truma Lefishiyesh Mitzvah B'tzerifasom Migra Gara. And Tosus formulates the question beautifully. Meaning, by Truma Tamea, so you're supposed to burn it. Good. So, but that takes away from the fact, it makes it any worse now than chulin. Chulin, you're not supposed to burn it, but if you want to on Yom Tov, you're allowed to. So, Truma Tamea, where you're supposed to burn it, so now you want to benefit from it, you're allowed to. So, basically now, to recap, Tosus's question is very simple. How is the Gemara answering our question? Our question is, you're not allowed to burn Truma Tamea. Why not? Because you're not allowed to burn Kachim. But I know why we're not allowed to burn Kachim, because you're not benefiting from it. So there's no mitoch principle. By Truma Tamea, you are benefiting from it. There should be a mitoch principle. Now listen, V'omer Riva, listen to this answer, interesting answer by Tosfos. V'omer Riva, devadai gara, dekem shasra Torah, kol hanos, rak hanas reifa, imkein havarzu eina letzarech hanasa, ela lishem mitzvas sreifa. Look, Tosfos says that when you burn Truma Tamea, fundamentally, your primary purpose is to burn it. Meaning you're really involved in one act and one act alone, and that's the destructive act of truma. You're supposed to destroy it, and destruction comes about through burning. You need to burn it. As a side benefit, meaning that while you're burning it, what the Torah says to you is, you know, heat comes off while you're burning it. And heat obviously has a value and a benefit. What the Torah is essentially saying to us is, you know, while it's burning, you want to help yourself to the heat? Go ahead. But in its very nature, in its very root, you really are, your goal is to destroy it. So that means now as follows, is that by Truma Tamea, because your fundamental purpose in the Truma Tamea is to destroy it, and only as a side benefit are you allowed to benefit from it, so that's not called, there we can't use the Mitoch principle. The Mitoch principle only comes about when my primary goal is to benefit from it, not to destroy it. Right? So in other words, what comes out from this Tosos is that by Truma Tamea, even though you're allowed to benefit from the Truma Tamea, that's not viewed as the primary goal of burning. The primary goal of burning is to destroy it. The benefit is only as a side. And that's why, says Tosfos, the Gemara's answer is satisfactory. Truma Tamea is like Kachim. Kachim of yesterday, I need to burn, I need to destroy. Same thing with Truma Tamea. The only difference is that by Truma Tamea, the Torah says, you want to enjoy the heat, go ahead. You want to benefit from the heat, go ahead. But it doesn't change the nature, the root of what it is. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be burned.
Primary function.
It's a primary function. Okay, good. I know it's a subtle point, but it's important just to understand how the comparison of the Gemara between Truma and Kachim, Truma Tamea and Kachim. Now let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off Amar Chizkiya v'chein tana debei Chizkiya. I'm sorry, Minan Imili. So now the Gemara just wants a source, meaning where do we know that you're not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yontif? So the Gemara says Amar Chizkiya v'chein tana debei Chizkiya Amakra v'loso ser mi menuad boker v'anoso mi menuad boker be'ish tisrofu. And the Gemara darshins this pasuk chein tana lomar ad boker. There's a redundancy in the poker. In the pasuk it says the morning and it says it twice. Ma tana lomar ad boker ba'akasav liten lo boker shein l'sreifa so. Let me give a little context to what's going on over here. We're talking about the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is shechted on Erev Pesach. Right, not on Pesach. Erev Pesach. And now, what happens the next morning? Actually, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not even the next morning. It's midnight. But let's go like the Chachamim. You know what happens the next morning? So that Karm Pesach, anything that's left over, any meat that's left over is nosar. And what do you have to do? You have to burn it. But the Torah says boker two times. Don't burn it on Yontav. You can't burn it on Yontav. When do you burn it? The next morning. Chol HaMoed. I know for us, it's Yontav as well. But please, that's because we're confused. In Eretz Yisrael, they know what the next morning is. The next morning is Chol HaMoed. So you burn it on Chol HaMoed. That's source number one, that you're not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yontif. Shabbos, Karbanos, you're allowed to burn on Shabbos, excuse me. But weekday Karbanos, i.e., the carbon that was left over from yesterday, from Friday, you're not allowed to burn on Shabbos. And same thing with Yontif. Yontif Karbanos, you're allowed to burn on Yontif, but yesterday's carbon, you're not allowed to burn today. Rav Amar Makro, hu levado yaseh lachem. Hu v'lo machshirin, levado v'lo milo shelo bezman adas bekav chomer. A third source that you're not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yontif is based on the pasuk of Hu levado yaseh lachem, meaning it's true that there is a heter to cook on Yontif, but it's a limited heter, meaning hu v'lo machshirin, meaning only the food itself, but not a machshir. Meaning, as Rashi describes, Rashi gives an example. You're allowed to make a fire to cook food on Yontif. You're not allowed to make a fire to make a knife, right? Back in the good old days, right? You take a piece of metal. Not in the good old days. Even now, you take a piece of metal. You make it scalding hot, and you melt it into a knife. You can't do that on Yontif. That's what's called machshirei ochel nefesh. Now, obviously, the knife is necessary for the food and for the preparation of the food, but you cannot do it. That's what's called machshirei ochel nefesh, that you're not allowed to do. And levado v'lo milo shelo bezmana. And if you have a milo shelo bezmana, so that you can't do on Yontif, meaning only if it's the eighth day is that mila acceptable to be done on Shabbos or on Yontif, but a milo shelo bezmana, you're not allowed to do it. Da'asi b'kal v'chomer. Had we not had this special pasuk, I might have thought that you're allowed to do a milo shelo bezmana even on Yontif. Take a look at Rashi. It's a little bit involved. You'll forgive me. I'll bypass the Rashi for now. Take a look at Rashi in terms of how the Kal Vachomer would have arrived us at the conclusion that you're allowed to do milo shelo bezmana on Yontif, but even with the Kal Vachomer, we have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to do it. And so now, since it's a limited heter, we're now also going to say that kachim, non-yantav kachim, you're not allowed to burn on yantav. Rav Ashi Amar, and finally now we're going to have our fourth source of why you're not allowed to burn kachim on yantav, Shabbason, or Shabbat Shabbaton, however you want to say it, asay. V'avele yantav asay v'lo sasay, v'en asay doches lo sasay v'asay. What is Rav Ashi telling us? That look, burning nosar, you know what that's called? It's called a mitzvah. Ba'ish tisrofu. That is a mitzvah. The argument you may have made is, well, I'm going to do a mitzvah now, I'm going to burn nosar. Now, granted that on Yontav, I'm not allowed to burn, it's a law in the Torah. Our general rule is, ase docha lo sase, that a positive commandment is going to override a negative commandment. But now that Rav Ashi is introducing us to this idea, that there is a positive commandment to Yontav. Yontav is not just a lo sase. Yontav is an ase plus a lo sase. So now, I have burning nosar, which is just an ase. I have Yontav, which is an ase and a lo sase. So now, the ase of burning nosar is not going to override the ase and the lo sase of Yontav. Ve'ein doch, I read this inside. Ve'ein ase doch es lo sase va'ase. Period. Good. Okay, four sources all making the same point. You're not allowed to burn kachem on Yontav, and because you're not allowed to burn kachem on Yontav, you're also not allowed to burn shemen sreifa on Yontav as well. Good, we move on. B'yom tov hu da'asir ha'b'chol shapir dami. So,
by the way, where do we get the mitzvah
asir
from Yontav? Do we get that?
No, we got it from the word Shabbaton. Rashi, the top Rashi on the Amud, I did not point to this Rashi, the mashma shivus bo, meaning there is a positive commandment to stop working on Yontif.
And
that turns Yontif into an asay.
Yeah.
So now, when the question of burning kachem on Yontif, or burning nosar on Yontif, and now you're pitting a asay versus another assay.
That assay we get from...
What, the burning of Noser? By Eish Tisrofu.
No, the assay for Yom Tov.
That's Shabbaton.
Shabbaton, which goes only on Yom Tov.
Which is for Yom Tov.
Right.
Correct. Right. For Shabbos, in other words, there's no need for Shabbos because Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Havara altogether.
Right. Shabbos has an assay too.
Right. And presumably this point would also be true by Shabbos as well.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now, during the week, you burn truma tameya. Av amra Torah bishas biura tehane mimena. Now, while you're burning truma tameya, so you'll have to get benefit from it. Heichan amra Torah. So now the Gemara just is going to explain the other side of the equation. Meaning, basically what we've now established is that you're not allowed to burn Truma Tameh on Yom Tov. Why not? Because you're not allowed to burn Kutchum on Yom Tov. Good. But that equation is not a precise equation. When I burn Kutchum, for example, I burn Osar, can I get benefit from it? The answer is absolutely not. Forbidden. So now, once we're equating Truma Tameh to Kutchum, so the conclusion you may arrive at, which would be logical, would be, well, just like I can't get benefit when I burn no, sir, I also can't get benefit from Truma Tameya. And yet, the assumption going into the whole discussion is that you are allowed to get benefit when you burn Truma Tameya. And the Gemara's question over here is really simple. Well, how do I know that? So, Heichan Amar Torah, Midr Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abar Ravu Amar Kra, V'ani Hinei Nasat L'chas Mishmeres Truma Sai. Now, you got to read that correctly. Most of the time, I don't read the Pesukim correctly. That's my fault. But the but this, you got to read correctly. The Pasuk says, Hinei Nasat L'chas Mishmeres Truma Sai. My trumas. You gotta take care of my trumas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs the Kohanim. B'shtei trumas HaKasav Mendaber. Now, truma sai is plural. What do you mean, my trumas? What plural truma are we talking about? Achas truma tahor v'achas truma tameya. There are two types of truma. Two types, it's funny. It's not really two types. But there are two manifestations of truma. One is truma tahora, meaning when I give it to the Kohen, I'm supposed to give it to him in a state of tahara, meaning the truma itself. And the other is that if in the event the truma becomes tameh, or tameya, so now that's what's called truma tameya. But it's interesting. The Torah speaks to them as if they're two totally different categories. There's truma tahora and truma tameya. V'amarachmana licha. Now, wait, before I get to the lecha point. The first point is that ve'ani hinei nasat lecha, it's mishmeres trumasai. You got to take care of it. Meaning that just like the Kohen is instructed, that when you have truma tahora, you got to take care of it. Meaning make sure it doesn't become tamei, make sure that you eat it. Shomer, be a guardian over the truma tahora. The Kohen is also instructed to be a guardian over the truma tamei as well. Now that's interesting. You're a guardian over truma tameya. Like, what's going to happen to it? Why are you a guardian over it? What that means is that make sure to burn it. I mean, make sure nobody eats it. A Kohen who eats truma tameya, it's a punishable act. So make sure that you are a shomer, a guardian over truma tameya as well. And when you do burn it, now we get on to the next point. And when you do burn it, so achas truma tahor v'achas truma tameya v'amar rechman lecha. Meaning, and we say to the Kohen, it's yours. That you, when you burn it, Mr. Kohen, or in this case, Mr. Keskel, so when you burn it, so you can put it under your pot. And you can use it as fuel in order to cook your food. Meaning that you're allowed to get benefit from the Truma Tameya as you're burning it. That is one source that that you're allowed to benefit from Truma Tameya when you burn it. We have a confession to make. It's in Parshas Kisavo. In the first Aliyah of Kisavo, the Pasuk says that you do what's called Vidui Meiser. At the end of the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, so you have to do a full accounting for all your Trumas and Meisers. Okay? In this country, we do an accounting every year. Okay, for our revenue, right? In Eretz Yisrael, when you did your agricultural taxes, so otherwise known as Trumas and Maestros, so you need to make an accounting at the end of the third year and at the end of the sixth year. Why end of three, end of six? Because that's how a cycle goes. Meaning a cycle of Trumas and Maestros are year one and two, it's Truma, Maestro Rishon, and Maestro Sheni. In year three, it's Truma Meister Rishon and Meister Ani. And that ends that's the end of the first 3 years. And then at the end of the first 3 years, accounting. Make sure you got rid of all of it. And then at the end of the next 3 years, 4, 5, and 6, it's the same cycle. 4 and 5 is Meister Rishon, Meister Sheni. And year 6 is Meister Rishon, Meister Ani. So you make an accounting as well. And the Torah describes in this accounting, Lo bi'arti mimenu bitameh. I didn't burn it when it was tameh. Now what's the it mentioned in the pasuk? It's talking about Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni, I didn't burn in a state of tumah. Mimenu yatamavir aval tamavir shemeshol shurmashin it meis. Now Meister Sheni, you're not allowed to get benefit from. But another type of kodesh, i.e. truma tameya, you are allowed to get benefit from. Ve'ema mimenu yatamavir aval tamavir shemeshol kodesh shenitma. So the Gemara says, well, as long as we're opening up let's make a suggestion box. Maybe what the Torah is referring to is not that you're allowed to burn Truma Tameya. Maybe what the Torah is referring to is that you're allowed to get benefit when you're burning Shemeshel Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Lav Kavachomer. The Gemara says, no, come on. Uma Meister Akal, Amr Torah, Lo Biyarti Mimene Metamei, Kodesh Chamolo Kodesh, can't be. If by Meister Sheni, I can't benefit from Meister Sheni when I burn it, and Meister Sheni doesn't have a lot of Kedusha, evidenced by the fact that Meister Sheni can be eaten by anybody. You don't even have to be a Kohen to eat Meister Sheni. It's true, it does have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but in other words, it doesn't have a lot of Kedusha. Kodesh, which obviously Karban, which has a lot of Kedusha, obviously, I'm not allowed to benefit from. Simple Kavachomer. So Yachi Truma Nami Lema Kavachomer Hu. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're in the business of Kavachomer, so Truma also should be derived through Kavachomer. So Hatsiv Mimenu, but the Gemara says, okay, but we have a Drasha. Meaning Mimenu means I'm not allowed to benefit from Meiser Sheni when I burn it, but there's something else that I'm allowed to benefit from. It's got to be pointing to something. Oman Reisa, and the Gemara says, okay, well, it's got to be pointing to something. So here are my candidates. Either it could be Shemeshel Kodesh, or it could be Shemeshel Truma. So why did you think, asked the Gemara, that we're referring to Shemeshel Truma, not Shemeshel Kodesh? So Kodesh Lo Mimatino Shekein Siman Panak Akas. Right? In other words, there are 6 things that make Kodesh special and unique. And as we're going to see in just a moment, there are only going to be 4 things that make Truma special and unique. So I ask you, of the 2 candidates, Kodesh versus Truma, which one is more special? So it's called 6-4. Right? Kodesh wins. So, okay, I know usually we don't quantify as simply as what I just did, but I just did. Meaning it's that easy. We just quantify. Kodesh has more unique aspects to it, so therefore, if I'm looking to leave something out of this discussion, I'd sooner leave Kodesh out because it has 6 unique qualities. And they are Pigel knows their carbon, mi'ila kares aser la'onin. Pigel, having a machshav of chutz zmano, knows that if I leave it over and somebody eats it, he's liable to for kares. Carbon, it is described as a carbon. Mi'ila, subject to the prohibition of mi'ila. Kares, right, if you eat carbon, if you eat carbon and you're not entitled to do so, you're chayv kares. If you eat in a state of tumah, you're chayev kares. And also, la'onin, as we know, an onin in this context means somebody who lost one of his 7 relatives, and before the burial, that person is qualified as an onin. Actually, for karban, it actually is the day of the Yom HaMisa. So the person's an onin for that day. So these halachas apply specifically and exclusively to a karban. These halachas do not apply to truma. The Gemara says, Adarabba, yeah, but by Truma, there are 4 unique qualities. Lame Matina Shekein, Machpaz, Rashitevos, Siman Misa. If you eat Truma, and you're not entitled to eat the Truma, the punishment is Misa Bidei Shamayim. For a non-Kohen who eats Truma, you don't have that by Karban. Now, Misa Bidei Shamayim is like a first cousin of Kares. But there are differences between them, Rashi over here points out. Kares, not only do you die prematurely, but also, says Rashi, you have no children. Or if you did, so then your children will die, right? Something along those lines. Misa bidei shamayim, it just affects you and does not affect your progeny. That's specific to truma. Chomesh, if you by mistake eat truma, you not only have to pay the kohen the principal amount, but you also have to add on a 25% surcharge. Ein la pidyon, that's the pay. Truma is a non-redeemable item. Kodesh carbon sometimes is a redeemable item, specifically if it gets a blemish. And finally, asura lazarim. A non-kohen cannot eat truma. A non-kohen is allowed to eat carbon, not every carbon, but some carbonus. Okay, so anyway, so what comes out now is that I have carbon versus truma, 6-4, hanach nefishin, so the Gemara says game over. Meaning, so now we have a drasha of mimenu, that there is something that I'm allowed to benefit from when I burn it. My two choices are kodesh or truma. I'm going to go with truma, because truma is less special relative to carbon. Good. Ibaisim, the Gemara says, I'll give you another approach. Kodesh chamor shekein enosh kares. Or we could just simply say, look, kodesh is kares, truma is misa bidei shamayim. That's enough evidence to show that carbon is more, has more kedusha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Makra, titein lo, lo velo lo oro, mechlal debas oro. A third possibility of how we know that you're allowed to benefit from truma tamea, that the kohen, while he's burning his truma tamea, can benefit from it, is the following. The Torah says that titein lo, that what do you do with the truma? You give it to him. Okay, so I'm pointing to Dan. So you right? Just make sure everyone knows. So you give it to him. I'm not Leo, I'm and Ellen. Forgive me, please. Yeah, right, correct. Now I understand the structure of the whole room. Okay, so that whole row over there. So titein lo, you give it to him. Lo v'lo la'oro. To him, meaning to him for eating, but not for him for illumination. Meaning that, this is interesting. There is almost like an assumption going in that when I give truma over to the kohanim, it really is for whatever they want. Meaning, the Torah instructs me to take my truma, in this case we're talking about olive oil, and give it to him. And the Torah says, lo. Now, lo meaning here, lamed vav. Specifically to him, v'lo la'oro, but once you give it to him, he can't use it for illumination. Meaning that, it's almost like the Torah is kind of removing the fuel quality of the truma and limiting it only to eating. But once the eating is no longer available, i.e. the truma becomes tameh, so now we're kind of like back to our default assumption, which is, okay, now you can't eat it? All right, so now you could burn it and use it for fuel. So, So that means that the default position going in was that really you could have used it for fuel and illumination, but the Torah says, you know what, but just eat it. But once you can't eat it, now you could use it for fuel and illumination.
So how did we finish?
So we finished like this. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know that a kohen is allowed to benefit while he's burning his truma tamea? So basically, to make a long story short, it's either that we have the mimenu pasuk, which is coming to tell us that you are allowed to benefit from something, and based on the score of 6-4, that something was truma tamea. Another possibility of the Gemara is that titein lo, meaning that you give it to him. I was inclined to include giving it to him to include even for illumination. The Torah says no, lo, give it to him for eating. But once he can't eat it anymore, so then we can go back and revert to use it for illumination.
And one more thing, why does Samech stand for
Ayin? Samech stands for, this is a tricky one. You ready? Asur. Yeah. Sometimes, right, the Rashi Tevos are obviously memory aids. That's the purpose of the Rashi Tevos. But sometimes it can be a little bit tricky on the memory. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, my time, Amar Rav, Mitoch Sherecho, Rag, Zer Shema, Yenichena, Vietse. Now, you remember back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon says you can't use Itra. Right? Shabbos. We're back to Shabbos now. So, and it produces a bad smell. It's malodorous. And what's going to happen is that we're all at the table, and we're all smelling the itron as it's burning, and we all leave the table. And the Gemara asks a great question. And so what? So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to his Chavrusa Rava, V'yetze. All right. All right, so what? Okay, look, you know, anyway, it was time for the guests to leave anyway. So Amalei Shani Omer, but obviously, by the way, first of all, I'm joking. Secondly, we're not even talking about the guests, we're just talking about the members of your family. So Amalei Shani Omer, Halakas Neber Shabbos Chova. So he says, well, it's not just lighting your Shabbos licht is a nice thing to do. The Gemara says it's an obligation. The Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Zavda, Amri La, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Amarav, Halakas Neber Shabbos Chova. Lighting Shabbos lights is an obligation. And by the way, let's just, as long as we're quoting the statement, let's go on. Now, washing your hands and your feet in hot water in the evening, so that is a rishus, meaning that's not as much of an obligation. Certainly recommended. Okay, not only for you, but for everyone else in the house. Please wash yourself. So it's certainly recommended, but not as much as an obligation. Ve'ani omer mitzvah. Now I say it's a mitzvah. So my mitzvah, now, by what right do I say that washing yourself is a mitzvah? I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, Kachayim Menagosh, Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai. Erev Shabbos, this is the minig of Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai. Mivin lo areva maleachamin, v'roche tzpanav yad v'raglav. So they would bring to him a bucket of hot water. He would wash his hands, feet, his face. And he would sit in linen clothing, the doma which have tzitzis on them, the doma l'mal chashem tzvakos, and he looked like an angel. Now, the students would cover up the corners of their garments. So amar lam bini lo kach shanisi lechem. Now, why were they covering up the corners of the garments? Because they weren't wearing tzitzis. Now you think, you know, I work at a high school full time. You think that the examination of the students to see whether or not they're wearing tzitzis, which parenthetically, I try to stay away from that. But you think that's a new phenomena? So the Gemara says that's an old phenomena. Although, to be fair, the students are not wearing tzitzis for reasons of whatever the excuses are used nowadays, that's not what's going on. What's going on is that there's a halachic dispute between the Rebbe and the Talmidim as to whether or not it's permitted to wear tzitzis. So what the Rebbe says to the students is, Sadin b'tzitzis, I'm sorry, lo kach shanis alechem sadin b'tzitzis b'sham epochem b'sillam echayven. Meaning, I know there's a fundamental debate between b'sham and b'sillam whether or not you're allowed to put tzitzis on linen garments. But halachic divrei Beis Hillel. But even though it's a machlok chin Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but we all know how it goes. Machlok chin Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Halacha falls like Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel says you do put tzitzis on linen garments. So he says to his students, "What are you doing?" V'inu sarv gzerim b'shem ksus laila. Now they think that there's a gzera, a rabbinic enactment, and to explain why it is that you don't put on tzitzis on the linen garment. So yeah, so you're already on the ball. So what I want to do for today is as follows. Today I'm going to go back to the beginning of this discussion about lighting Shabbos candles as being a chova, an obligation, and then tomorrow what I'll do is I'll start off with the discussion of tzitzis. But for today, for the rest of today, let's just do this discussion of lighting candles on Shabbos as a chova. Okay. This is the Gemara. Meaning the entire second paragraph is dedicated to the topic of lighting Shabbos licht. Now, the Mishnah just simply assume we all know there's an obligation to do so. Right? And because the Mishnah starts off, Kedarka Bekodesh, with what oils are acceptable, what oils are not acceptable, what wicks are acceptable, what wicks are not acceptable. Good. But why? Meaning, why is there an obligation to light your Shabbos lights? Where does it come from? Where in the Torah does it say that when you go into Shabbos, you light your Shabbos light? Doesn't say so. So where does it come from? So as I already explained at the beginning of the parak, the Rambam says it's a function of kavod, it's a function of oneg, it's honoring Shabbos, it's enjoying Shabbos. From the Gemara over here, it's shalom bayis. Good. Okay, so in other words, there are reasons why. I ask you a simple question. I think I brought this up already on day one of the second perek, but now I bring it up now, for you'll see why I bring it up now. Do I make a bracha when I light Shabbos licht?
Yeah.
Now I know the sitter kind of gives away the answer. But how about this? There's not one mention in the Gemara anywhere that says that you make a bracha when you light your Shabbos licht. No mention of it. And I'll add to that by saying that we just got done last week talking about Hanukkah. And when the Gemara is talking about Hanukkah licht, the Gemara says that there are three brachas that you say. So in other words, the Gemara says with absolute clarity that when you light your Hanukkah licht, so you make a bracha. And now contrast that to the fact that the Gemara never mentions making a bracha by Shabbos licht. And Tosfos over here writes, there are some people who say that you don't make a bracha when you light Shabbos licht. Right? Can you imagine? Now, one of the reasons why Tosfos makes this argument, now Tosfos is going to argue vociferously, but one of the reasons why he makes that argument is because when the Gemara over here talks about lighting of Hanukkah, what word does it use to describe it? Chova. Now chova is a funny word. Chova means it's an obligation. Now the Gemara could have chosen the word mitzvah, and mitzvah would have been a more accurate way of describing something which is a mitzvah, which requires a bracha. But if lighting the candles is not a mitzvah, but rather a chova, so there are those who argue, oh, so what do you see from here? It's not a mitzvah. Now, meaning, I know I'm thin slicing over here, meaning this is a really, really subtle discussion. Chova still means I need to do it, but it doesn't fall under the category of mitzvah.
Chova doesn't get a bracha either.
And Tosfos points out, chova doesn't get a bracha, for example, says Tosfos. Perfect. So, for example, says Tosfos, my machronim, the Gemara describes as being a chova. Right. Correct. Tosfos says, my machronim is a chova. Now, when you do my machronim, do you make a bracha? No. You don't make a bracha of my machronim. Because it's a chova, because it's an obligation, it's not a mitzvah. So, for obligations, you don't make a bracha. For mitzvahs, you make a bracha. Now, Tosfos over here, you got to see inside. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Deshibashu. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, I know I just dropped this right into the middle of Tosfos. It's about six lines down in the Tosfos of Chova. And Rabbeinu Tam says, Shibashu, meaning nonsense. Meaning this idea of not making a bracha, Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Delo damel mayim achronim, delo havi ela lahatzal ba'alma. Look, mayim achronim, that says Tosfos, that's just to save us. You know, from the salt, from the bad salt. But there's no inherent value in the Mayim Achronim. In fact, you know, I've showed you Tosfos elsewhere. Don't ask me now where to find it. I've showed you Tosfos elsewhere. It's in Chulin, somewhere in the Kuf area. So, but anyway, I showed you Tosfos elsewhere. Tosfos says that nowadays we don't do Mayim Achronim. I know, that's debatable. But Tosfos says that we don't do Mayim Achronim nowadays. Why not? Because the only purpose of Mayim Achronim is just simply to get rid of the salt. That's it. And nowadays, we don't have the salt, so therefore we don't have Mayim Achronim. So, it's just Lahatzala Ba'alma. Avahalakas ner hi chova shal mitzvah. Oneg Shabbos. In other words, but lighting your Shabbos light, that enhances Shabbos. That's called Oneg Shabbos. That's mitzvah territory. V'kama chova hin detunim bracha. And these people who say don't make a bracha, they make another argument. Watch this argument. I know we're on the clock, but I'm finishing up. Watch this argument work. Don't make a bracha because, well, let's say Friday you already had your candle lit. Do you have to extinguish your candle and then relight it for Shabbos? Nah, you don't have to do that. In other words, just keep it lit. So what do you see? There's no obligation to light. All there just needs to be is lit candles. So you see that the lighting is not a mitzvah. Ein niras. The Tosfos says, I'm not buying into that as well. I'll show you other places in Halacha where, even though if the opportunity is not available, you don't have to do it, but once the opportunity arises, you do it and you make a bracha. Kisui Adam is a good example, where if the wind comes and blows dirt over the blood, you don't have to do the mitzvah anymore.
But
But if the opportunity presents itself, you're going to do it, and you're going to make a bracha. I'll skip that one. Okay, good. So in other words, Tosos does not buy into that argument as well. And then he quotes one of the oldest Siddurim known to us, Siddur of Amram, in the Siddur of Rav Amram, which is a primary source, and a Siddur of the Gaon, Rav Amram, so he has that you light and you make a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam concludes this whole discussion by saying, and by the way, I even disagree with that argument. Meaning, I disagree with the point. If, let's say, you have lights that are already lit, I think Rabbeinu Tam says what you're supposed to do is, before Shabbos, extinguish it and relight it. Meaning, I think that there is a mitzvah specifically to light for Shabbos. So, and he quotes the Gemara that we saw all of 2 days ago. That that's what you're supposed to do. So anyway, so in conclusion, obviously, I know, we do make a bracha, but just the discussion of chover versus mitzvah, and the bracha is not found in the Gemara, so all nice and very interesting talk. Tomorrow we'll start with Tzitzis talk.